Love and Light. This is Healthy Talk Show, recording live on Thursday, November 28th, 2019. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm Robert.
And I'm Marissa.
Show notes will be over at healthytalkshow.com/37.
On this episode of Healthy Talk Show, we have Ice Sting University and California DMV selling your info, but first...
Concern over people eating E. coli contaminated romaine lettuce continues to grow. The Centers for Disease Control issued a food safety alert reporting 27 more cases this week. Of the nearly 70 cases, 39 had to be hospitalized.
E. coli can be very serious.
Infectious disease expert Dr. William Schaffner at Vanderbilt says young children and the elderly are most at risk. Symptoms like cramping and diarrhea can start anywhere from 2 to 8 days after eating contaminated food. 5 to 10% of people diagnosed with E. coli can also suffer kidney damage.
Yikes.
There's usually no fever, so it can be subtle, and people don't recognize it as an infectious cause right away.
The CDC is urging folks and stores to throw away all romaine products from Salinas, California, the suspected source of the contamination. If you don't know where it's from, don't eat it. Also, wash and sanitize where romaine lettuce was stored.
Salinas, California, I believe. That's the source for 60% of the U.S.'s romaine lettuce or something like something crazy. Yeah, it's... Ew.
Why is it always the romaine
lettuce?
Yeah,
and last year was the same thing with the E. coli, if you look back. So, weird. Why the romaine? What's wrong with romaine? Romaine tastes good.
I know. Is it a hit job?
Is it not? Is it not? I don't know. Is it not? KETKNBC. President Trump signs bill making animal cruelty a federal felony.
Protecting Animals Against Cruelty and Torture, or PACT Act, is now law and gives the feds power to go after some animal abusers.
It's very exciting to be at this juncture at a time when there is so much in D.C. that isn't getting done.
Sarah Amundson with the Humane Society Legislative Fund has pushed for years to make the act a law.
What the PACT Act will do is ensure that egregious crimes against animals that transpire on federal property are prosecuted accordingly.
It also allows people who kill or torture animals and then post those videos online to be charged with a crime as well. Congress previously made posting those videos a federal offense, but the actual abusive act wasn't.
But any other type of animal cruelty has not been banned on the federal level. That's what the PACT Act will do.
One of the bill's co-sponsors, Florida Representative Vern Buchanan, spoke about the need to end federal animal abuse loopholes earlier this year.
But this will close a lot of the doors.
The law also addresses abuse that involves some kind of interstate commerce. Every state has animal abuse laws on the books, but some cases are difficult to prosecute when exact jurisdiction isn't clear.
It's prevalent enough for the U.S. Congress to care and for President Trump to sign this into law.
With President Trump's signature, the law becomes immediately enforceable.
Interesting.
Seems pretty good.
Yeah. The main, what I can derive from this, on this Preventing Animal Cruelty and Torture Act, PACT Act, so-called crush videos. Apparently, it's a big trend to post videos of animals being crushed, which is horrifying.
Yeah.
That's where it all started with. Why is that a thing? That's awful. That's,
You even told me of how you saw.
Yeah, at a vet office one time, a few years ago. It was very interesting. I was waiting in line and someone came in and cut in line and said they had a medical emergency and it was a young dog that was, she said her daughter was on the swing and accidentally crushed the dog somehow. My ex at the time, well, she wasn't my ex at the time, now she's my ex, who was involved in animal services and stuff, said no, happens a lot.
Damn, are you serious?
I think that animal was crushed.
Oh my
deliberately.
God.
Very strange. Damn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Seems like a good thing.
It's disgusting. Yeah. Okay. Ban those crushing videos.
Yeah, ban these.
Prosecute the animal abusers.
And they always say that people that do animal abuse, that they turn to people later. So it seems like a good thing. Catch these people young.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, that's a good way to sell it, too. Yeah. People think, you know, oh, well, it could help humans, too. Yeah, interesting. Democracy Now! Google fires employees.
Google has fired four employees who've been active in labor organizing inside the tech giant. One of the fired workers, Rebecca Rivers, had objected to Google's bid to collaborate with CBP, that's Customs and Border Protection. Another one of the fired workers, Lawrence Berland, had protested hate speech on YouTube, which is owned by Google. The company claims all four workers were fired for violations of Google's data security policies.
Yeah. PBS NewsHour, Amazon doesn't report its warehouse injury rates, but we have an inside look.
Amazon refused to let us film inside any of its warehouses, but in online videos, the nation's second largest private employer touts its culture of safety.
Safety is always the number one priority.
We want to be the most safety-centric organization.
Well, of course, they're going to put this in their promotional video. So,
yeah. Safety's number one.
Everyone always says this in their
little everyone's video. Happy and smiling. Yeah, I'm safe.
Yeah, we love safety.
Okay. And we love Amazon.
Amazon, which is not unionized, closely guards records of serious injuries like Dixon's. But federal regulations say the company must provide workers with the injury logs from their work sites. So, with the help of Amazon employees around the country, we were able to obtain official injury records from 23 warehouses across 14 states.
Nice little map there.
Yeah.
Representing about 20% of Amazon's fulfillment centers. At these warehouses, we found that last year, workers got seriously injured at more than double the industry average. In some facilities, it's four or even six times that average. Serious injuries are those for which workers need to take time off or be restricted from certain tasks.
Wow.
Amazon declined to be interviewed, but in an email stated the rates are high because it diligently reports injuries, saying, Amazon encourages the reporting of every incident, regardless of how small.
Isn't every company like that, though? Every company always says that, oh, yeah, if it, you know, no matter what, report the incident. So.
Yeah, well, they legally have to.
Yeah, so I'm not sure I buy.
Because they can get in trouble later if the employee comes back and says they were injured at work. And, oh, why didn't you? It's a huge legal thing. It's better just to come forward. In most cases, at least in California, where I received all my safety training.
Yeah.
Which is the safety capital of the United States, I think. At least OSHA-wise.
They know their safety.
Cal OSHA.
Also said that rates of lost work time are high because Amazon takes an abundance of caution in not placing employees back at work before they are ready.
Probably true.
Yeah, that I could see.
Overall, the injuries we found ranged from lacerations to concussions. Most were labeled strains and sprains.
That's interesting.
Which part?
Employees back at work before they are ready. Overall, the injuries we found ranged from lacerations to concussions. Most were labeled strains and sprains.
Just strains and sprains?
Yeah. Which is so general.
But, you know, I'm just thinking, I'm sure the clip will mention the repetitive motions.
Injured workers had to take off more than a month to recover.
No, but that's a common injury for repetitive motion, of course.
So it just sounds like a sprain, you know, that general overworked.
Yep. Very interesting, but coming from a manufacturing environment in California, injuries are crazy prevalent. Even with, you can be the safest company, you can have crazy amount, but injuries are just...
Yeah.
We had an issue with employees just getting hurt all the time.
Oh my gosh.
You can kind of build in some kind of culture and then, you know, you can build trends where, oh, okay, we'll go 300, you know, we'll go a year, maybe 2 years without injury, but then you start getting, and then they start to just, one accident happens and they just domino effect.
Oh, that's weird.
It's very strange. Why is that? I have no idea, but it's very strange. You build these long records and then domino, starts injury. Some say people don't want to work. I don't know if that's true. That's what a lot of managers would tell you. Oh, yeah, people just don't want to work. They're lazy. Possible. I don't know.
Yeah. Ask at healthytalkshow.com.
Yeah, let us know. Do you want to work? DW News. A quarter of global pig population expected to die due to swine fever epidemic.
Pork is a staple in Chinese diets. But for many Chinese, it's becoming a luxury. The price has at times tripled within the past year.
Ooh, tripled?
Yeah.
Behind the soaring prices is an outbreak of African swine fever. The virus is harmless to humans, but it's decimated China's livestock herds. Some 200 million pigs have already been killed due to the disease, about 40% of all stocks. And a diminished stock means rising prices. But it's not just consumers who are suffering.
The price of pork has increased, and definitely there are less people buying it and eating it. Honestly speaking, we don't want the prices to be high. We sell more when the price is lower. If the cost is high, the profits will be low.
Restaurants are also affected. They have to try and absorb the rising prices, but inevitably end up passing costs along to consumers in order to make something. The consequences of swine fever has spread to the country's political and economic policy. The Beijing government has increased imports, for example, from Argentina, in a bid to keep costs low. The State Council places high importance on the issue of the rise in pork prices and has already enacted a series of measures. These measures and policies up to now appear to have had a positive impact. It will be months, however, before Chinese pork production recovers. That's when the next generation of pigs will reach maturity for slaughter, provided the virus doesn't get them first.
Dang.
Yeah.
We've been following this, I believe. Here we go. So you said I have to do more of this, Marissa, uh-huh. My partner here. HealthyTalkShow.com/20 for the number 20. Follow this back in May. Yep, we were already on this case, African swine fever. It's hitting. Prices are going up. It's hitting everywhere.
Well, keep watching. It's keep pork. Reporting.
Keep reporting on the pork. Oop. Switch to that. CBS This Morning. As airlines reduce seat sizes, FAA to determine minimum standard.
Good morning. This took an order from Congress to get the FAA to do this testing. It's the first time they've looked at seat size specifically. Some perspective here. This piece of paper is actually bigger than some of the seats people will be getting into today as they take to the skies.
It's a pretty small piece. What is that? Legal, maybe?
I don't know. I was thinking that ledger. Actually looks...
It's not 11 by 17. I would say it's legal. So I would say 8.5 by 14. What would you say?
Yeah. Well, is that the A10 paper?
I don't know.
The European longer one?
I don't know. Legal?
Yeah, maybe.
This grows out of concern as seats have gotten smaller, space has gotten tighter, and more people have gotten onto fuller airplanes, that could impact how long it takes to safely get off a plane in an emergency.
In a simulated cabin that can be filled with smoke and plunged into darkness,
evacuate.
The FAA will try to determine at what point the
That airplane isn't full.
Yeah.
Go back. Everyone's sitting in the aisle ready to jump out. Yeah. What the heck?
Yep. Look at that. Look at that. Everyone's in the aisle seat. All right. This is how planes are.
Yeah.
This is exactly how planes are.
Where's a backpack with a bunch of crap all over the floor? Yeah. I know they tell
Where
you.
Where are the babies?
Yeah.
Babies.
We need about
babies.
10 screaming babies.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yep.
AA will try to determine at what point.
And at least you need 20 people with bad BO. Okay, because that also is a hazard.
And how many coughing and sneezing everywhere, too?
Exactly. This is bull crap.
The size of seats and space between rows becomes a hazard to evacuating an airplane quickly.
Not if it's empty, like in this video.
Off an airplane?
As quick as possible if there is an emergency.
I like that standard. Typical good government regulate. Good government standard right there. How fast do people need to get off an airplane? As quick as possible. Okay. That's something to shoot for. Let's strive for that.
Yeah. Any sort of data on how fast the plane burns?
No, doesn't matter. No.
Casey Zinke McKee is with the FAA.
The queuing is usually not for people to get into the aisles, but actually to get out of the aircraft.
Flyers might think their seats are too close, but that may not have any impact on safety at all.
Correct. It might not. But that's the reason we're going to gather data.
Go!
When American Airlines Flight 383 had an...
Oh, I thought that was a simulation again. It's a really realistic simulation. No, that was real. Oh, okay. It looks way different than their simulation then. Wait.
Yeah.
Let's go back.
Might not. But that's the reason we're going to gather data.
Go!
Wow, that's not... Wow. There are a lot of people screaming.
American Airlines Flight 383 had an engine catch fire on takeoff in Chicago. It took more than 2 minutes to evacuate.
2 minutes? That's awful. You can evacuate a building in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Freaking small little airplane? Oh, that's bad.
In part because passengers grab their luggage. But during the 12 days of FAA testing...
Man, they always tell you not to grab your luggage, too.
Yeah, everyone did.
a city facility, the 720 volunteer passengers won't have to deal with real-life obstacles like bags, smoke, comfort animals, or the dark, and the volunteers will be broken into groups of just 60. The smallest 737 seats at least double that.
Yeah. So it's
here we go.
The FAA says it designed the test to focus solely on two variables, seat width and the space between rows known as seat pitch.
These tests are going to be nothing but a sham.
John Breo.
Nothing but a sham.
Yeah, I kind of agree. That space gets a lot smaller once you start putting more people and crap in there.
Oh, yeah.
Is from the National Consumers League. It and nine other groups sent a letter to Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao and the FAA Administrator criticizing the seat testing.
Consumers should not think for a minute that these tests are being done in a way that would accurately represent what could happen in an emergency evacuation.
Rayo worries airlines will use the FAA's findings to further reduce space and add more seats. Airline seat width is down as much as 4 inches over the last 30 years to as little as just 16 inches wide. And seat pitch has shrunk from about 35 inches to 31, and in some cases, as little as 28 inches.
Dang.
Michaela oops, Barton. Oops, not meant to do that. That's took out that whole native ad for Spirit. They went into the Spirit thing at the end of the video. Oh, yeah, they have better seats, and they're comfortable. What? It was really weird.
But it's crazy these seats are getting smaller because I thought Americans were getting larger.
Yeah, it's really.
That's what they always say.
Kind of strange.
Do you have any more clips on the issue?
Nope. You have this.
Yeah. So I was wondering why is there such a push, irregardless of how bad the safety tests are, of course. Mm-hmm. Why are they so eager to shrink down the seats? So I'm thinking, well, maybe travel's declining. And then we pulled up this statistic.
So travel's going up every year.
Yeah, there was a slight dip back in maybe 2008, 2009, right when the recession hit.
And then it's been going up. It's going up really a lot.
Yeah.
That looks good.
I know.
But they just, because they're trying to push more profits, I don't know. There could be a lot of factors, but they are.
Yeah.
I'm sure people can write in AskHealthyTalkShow.com. Tell us what it was like to fly back in the day.
Yeah.
I want some stories. Some stories of the legroom, the TSA not being there. Come on, tell us what it was like. We don't know.
I'm just saying those 1950s ads.
Yeah, seems
server,
like it's
she's
great.
Got a full meal there.
Yeah, freaking steak. Nice, delicious steak.
Yeah, even from potatoes. When I started flying, at least you would get that little microwave meal. It was
decent.
Wasn't much, but now they barely even get peanuts.
Yeah.
Dang.
If that, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on? It's.
I don't know.
When are we going to say enough's enough, Where's the next travel company that's going to start a better standard?
I don't think it works out too well for them. How's it working out for Virgin Airlines and JetBlue?
I don't know.
Were acquired or something? I don't know. I'm not sure. CBC News. Students call a BC University nursing program a cash grab.
Michaela Barton and her friends completed KPU's nursing prerequisite called Health Foundations. Hundreds take the one-year program, but only dozens get to actually go on and study nursing.
Wow.
Yeah. That's not a good thing. Yeah.
That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Say it's a cash grab that forces them to retake courses to meet the minimum grade point average of 3.95.
I did not think I was going to be a nurse. Like, before I got accepted, I just was making other plans. I was like, this is taking too long.
Kwantlen offers 104 nursing seats per year. Last year, it accepted 594 students to the mandatory health foundations. This fall, it abruptly suspended new admissions to the program.
Uh-oh. It's on hold for right now to make sure we're actually focusing on the existing students who are in the system. Based upon feedback, they worried about not being able to access courses.
KPU maintains Health Foundations grads can go on to other healthcare fields, but the reality is the majority of them want to be nurses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They sign up for. CBS This Morning, ICE sting operation arrests foreign students at fake university.
Since January, ICE has arrested about 250 foreign students at a fake university in Michigan. It's part of a sting operation by federal agents. The University of Farmington was opened in 2015 as a guise by ICE officials. It enticed foreign-born students, mostly from India, who had arrived legally in the United States on legitimate student visas. But the government says the phony university was a pay-to-play scheme the students used to remain in the United States under a student visa. Some of the students were arrested and deported, while others await trial in the United States.
People are not happy about this.
I thought it was kind of funny.
It is interesting. Yeah, because you're paying for something illegal. You're doing a pay-to-play admission scheme.
And if you look into the university at all, so if you want to show the website, this is their website.
Well, from the Wayback Machine. So yeah. It looks a little jankier than it used to look.
They took it down now. Yeah, but
it's not.
If you do some Googling, which you should, and look around the website, if you're ever applying to college.
Yeah.
It should be fairly apparent that this is a fake university.
Yeah. And again, pay-to-play.
Yeah.
So it's not legit.
Yeah. And the article you pulled up, they said that the Justice Department said that the students should have known it was not a legitimate university because it did not have classes in a physical location.
There you go. So it kind of seems like they did a honeypot scheme, some kind of honeypot kids or whatever. I don't know how old these people were that were actually in this university. But what? You're breaking the law.
Well, it was kind of weird too, actually, because a lot of these students were transfer students from other universities.
Yeah, that were shiesty.
Yeah, that they were
questionable.
Yeah, so they had just lost their accreditation, forcing them to transfer to another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a setup to be fake university, I should say. So, I guess that makes me wonder.
Yeah, what their motives were for signing for these universities in the first place.
Yeah, and what other schemes are afoot? Mm. We just heard about that nursing program.
Yep.
That's a little bit of a cash grab.
Why is it always about taking money?
It's always
about the money. Yes. Follow the money. And data. Sky News. How do politicians get your data? Remember, this is over in Euroland, so you Americans, we're good. Don't worry. This doesn't happen here ever. Just kidding.
Sarah is looking at herself as the Conservatives see her. She asked them for all the data they held on her, something they're legally obliged to supply.
It's fundamentally the digital equivalent of finding out what people are saying about you.
What did that data say?
It estimated that I was 31, male, and a multicultural family, none of which I am.
Uh-huh.
The source of this assessment is credit reference agency Experian.
He's Experian. Keep that name. Experian, my friend, Experian.
Made up of things like my transactions, my phone contract, my credit score, stuff like that.
It pulls.
How come they have credit scores of 9?
I know.
Yeah, let's go back. Apparently over in Euroland somewhere, they've got credit scores of 999. That's way better than what we've got.
I know.
Our credit scores don't make sense.
Nothing. None of this makes sense.
Pulls in masses of data to estimate who people are. It's not just the Conservatives who buy this information. Matthew asked Labour for his data and found the same problem as Sarah.
What Labour believed me to be was a 65-plus retired male who earns £55,000 a year.
This is great.
Owns his own flat. And I don't want to go too much into my personal life, but all of that is wrong.
The parties combine this data with their own information to decide who to target. Matthew's data showed Labour ranked every voter in each constituency on key issues like inequality and austerity, in a similar way to the Liberal Democrats, who we revealed last month were scoring voters out of 100, although without data from Experian.
Political parties have gathered data on voters for years. What's changed is what they do with it. I've got hold of leaked Labour Party manuals showing how they use Experian data to target Facebook ads. And I'm told the Tories do something similar. So when you see a political ad on Facebook and you wonder why it's being shown to you, Experian data is very often the reason why.
But they just said
Experian
it was all bull.
Told us its tools show the likely shared characteristics of groups of people, and so in some cases may not entirely reflect one individual. But when campaigning is digital, data is central to democracy. Perhaps, especially, if it's wrong.
It's true. The data is wrong now, but there's still...
I'm not quite sure what he meant by that last statement.
What? It's just funny.
Data is central to democracy? What?
Yeah, that's what...
I mean, keeping our data.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Keeping our data private. I just think that should have been more clear.
Well, maybe government... they don't. Maybe they want the data. Maybe they want to keep your data.
I don't know.
The government wants to keep your data. Private companies, who's keeping your data? Who's keeping your data? Who's keeping your data? AskHealthyTalkShow.com. I'm sure it's Google, Amazon. Yeah. You're not keeping your data.
But it's weird, too, because they want to do all these things on these algos, but they just proved how wrong they are.
Now, for now.
Can you even
right now,
well, I don't want them to be accurate.
The Experian algo is wrong for the political parties that they're selling over there. Okay, but still, these political parties are buying this data on you from Experian to target you. This is weird.
There's so many levels of jacked up.
It's just, that's the weird part. Now, it's wrong. Okay, the data is wrong, inaccurate. Or maybe it's correct and they just pulled the two people that it's actually wrong for.
That's also an interesting point.
We don't know.
False sense of security.
Trust nobody. Yeah. RT, California Department of Motor Vehicles. Let's listen.
The DMV in California made as much as $52 million a year selling.
What, $52?
One more time.
What? Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Making money.
The DMV in California made as much as $52 million a year selling drivers' personal information. According to a media report by way of obtaining a public information request, the DMV in California is selling driver data to private companies. The personal information includes names, physical address, and car registration details.
Oh, what? It's just names, physical address, and car registration details. Nothing private or anything. No private data there.
God.
According to the report, those private companies include data broker LexisNexis and consumer credit reporting agency Experian as just...
Experian is back! Experian is collecting your data! They want all your information!
So much
They're
for
buying
them.
Your DMV records!
And so much for being inaccurate.
Exactly. This is going to be really accurate.
Yeah.
This is going to be great data they have on you now, especially in California, the most populated state in the United States. Yeah. Y'all, they're screwed.
Some of the active participants. The report suggests insurance companies, vehicle manufacturers, and even prospective employers may be on the list as well. Take a look at the numbers here. The government agency received revenue from $41 million in fiscal year 2013-2014 from selling personal information. That number climbed to $51 million for fiscal year 2018-2019. In an email explaining the numbers, a DMV spokesperson writes, "The DMV takes its obligation to protect personal information very seriously. Information is only released pursuant to legislative direction, and the DMV continues to review its release practices to ensure information is only released to authorized persons or entities and only for authorized purposes."
Yeah, what does authorized persons even mean? We discuss with that the landlord thing, everyone can be an authorized person.
In the experience, we've done that. We've went through their little training video that someone put up on the internet talking about authorized persons who can access all this information.
Mel goes on to say the DMV even audits those so-called requesters, making them sign a security document to ensure employees accessing this information.
Yeah, sure they do. I have it on good authority. That's not always the case.
Information are properly trained. A new law going into effect in January, the California Consumer Privacy Act, may impact the DMV's data selling. The law requires businesses, after passing a certain threshold, to disclose the purpose of its data collection, as well as any third-party sharing. Individuals will also be able to opt out of the selling or sharing of their data.
Yeah, I want to opt out.
Those political ads are going to hit you, Californians. You guys are so screwed.
Yeah.
If they have that data and they're, and that's what they're being, Experience selling that, you're so many ads. Not going to be fun.
I'm just extra salty about the California DMV since.
Just so you don't think it's some Russian conspiracy either. KTLA5, California DMV makes over $50 million a year selling drivers' personal data, vice investigation fines. So it's not some Russian propaganda or anything. This is happening.
Don't they make enough money off of the vehicle registration fees?
Well, they made money off our vehicle registration, MFers. Freaking ripped us off when we were homeless, too.
Very salty about
that. We had to pay for a full year of vehicle registration at the inflated price of 100. Oh, there you go. Class action lawsuit against the state of California.
I'm hoping.
AskHealthyTalkShow.com if you know anything about that. We want to sue the state of California. Ready for our world news update?
Let's do it.
Al Jazeera English protesting French. Al Jazeera English, that's the network. Protesting French farmers.
Hundreds of French farmers drove their tractors to Paris. On the city's main ring, On the city's main ring road, they disrupted traffic to protest against French government policies and international trade deals that they say make their lives.
It's beautiful.
If you are listening, they have tractors lining the freeway. Up the roads. It's a line of them.
Yep, it's an army of tractors.
Yeah.
Lives harder and create unfair competition.
Nous faisons énormément d'efforts.
The president doesn't recognize our hard work. We have one of the most regulated farming industries in the world, yet he allows the import of unregulated goods. It's unfair.
This is one of the main access routes to Paris. This would normally be four lanes of very fast-moving traffic, but this convoy of tractors has stopped here, and they are completely blocking the road.
Oh, man.
On the city's most famous avenue, the Champs-Élysées, farmers tipped straw onto the pavement and demanded did a meeting with French President Emmanuel Macron to discuss their grievances.
We're really fed up, and our agriculture is dying off seriously in all of the different sectors. Last weekend, once again, I had a colleague who killed himself.
Oh my God.
Very serious. They are really up, having an uprising right now in France. They have problems with the yellow vests. Now the farmers. Oof.
Traditionally, people in France have had a positive image of farmers, but in recent years, it's changed. Some environmentalists accuse farmers of creating pollution, using harmful pesticides, and damaging nature. Farmers say they're fed up of what they call agribashing.
For years, the profession has been badly treated, criticized by certain people who imply that we are not doing the job the way we should, and that we are poisoning people. For us, farmers, that's unacceptable. Our profession is disparaged.
Interesting. Democracy Now! Violence against women protests.
Protesters around the world took to the streets Monday to protest violence against women. Crowds poured into the streets in Spain, Guatemala, Russia, Sudan, Turkey, South Africa, Bulgaria, France, Chile, Colombia, El Salvador, and beyond to mark the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women.
Democracy Now! Catholic priest convictions.
In Argentina, two Catholic priests were sentenced to over four decades in prison Monday for sexually abusing and raping dozens of students with hearing disabilities at an institute in the city of Mendoza. One of the priests had previously been investigated for sexual abuse at a school in his home country of Italy in the 70s, but was not convicted at the time. A former gardener of the school in Argentina was also convicted for sexual abuse crimes that were reported by over 20 alumni and took place between 2004 and 2016.
Damn. Priests getting convicted.
Woo. Yeah, but that's upsetting. They didn't get him the first time.
Yeah.
But
Democracy Now!, China prison camps.
Leaked documents have shed new light on China's government's network of prison camps in the far western region of Xinjiang, where as many as 1 million Uyghur Muslims have been detained without trial. The Chinese government says these prisons offer voluntary education, but the leaked documents reveal a campaign to force prisoners to change their language, culture, and religious beliefs.
Holy moly.
Man.
British human rights lawyer Ben Emerson said, quote, "It is very difficult to view that as anything other than a mass brainwashing scheme designed and directed at an entire ethnic community," unquote. Chinese government has denied carrying out any human rights violations against the Uyghurs.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything wrong.
I haven't heard much about this.
No, you won't in the American press. You will not hear much about that here. Democracy Now! Go support them. They're great media. Still world news update. Sky News. Trump signs bill supporting Hong Kong protesters.
Inside the Hong Kong protesters' fortress, police scour the corridors. For almost 2 weeks, pro-democracy demonstrators barricaded themselves inside this university. This is what they left behind. Classrooms and halls are littered with rubbish, rotting food, and hastily abandoned supplies for the fight, which specialist teams now pick through, looking for dangerous weapons.
Looks like a bear he's holding.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a dangerous weapon there. Yeah. But what is this weapon?
Objective today. The first one being the handling ore
the dangerous items such as the petrol bombs or offensive weapons, etc. Second, it would be the evidence gathering procedure in relation to all the crime scenes like criminal damage, etc. But we are not trying to search any person.
Armed with petrol bombs and bows and arrows, activists fought for days on end with the walls of police that hemmed them in. The battle for control of this university is a defining moment in almost 6 months of anti-government protest here, the greatest challenge to the Chinese Communist Party under strongman Xi Jinping. And now a further blow. As Donald Trump made law, legislation effectively backing pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong.
Very interesting.
Trump is shaking it up.
Yeah, this is getting heated.
Oh, yeah.
Kong, and banning the export of tear gas, rubber bullets, and stun guns, a move celebrated by Beijing's opponent. Still trying to negotiate the end of the ongoing trade war, the US president said he signed the bills out of respect for President Xi and the Hong Kong people, who he hoped would settle their differences. But China's already told America to butt out and warned there will be consequences.
Oh, man.
Hey, ooh, butt out, America.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of this. Stay back. France 24, China warns of retaliation as Trump signs laws backing Hong Kong protesters.
China's foreign ministry on Thursday threatened unspecified firm consequences after U.S. President Donald Trump signed two new bills supporting pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong. The legislation had drawn rare bipartisan support in the U.S. Congress, passing nearly unanimously in the House and Senate.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
They threaten sanctions for officials implicated in human rights abuses and ban the export of crowd control munitions to the Hong Kong police. But most importantly, the State Department must now regularly certify that Hong Kong retains sufficient autonomy from Beijing to justify the territory's favored trading status with the U.S.
Uh-oh,
that's true. Uh-oh. Tension. Ay-yi-yi. What's going on in the world? We don't know. We're just here talking about commercialism. NBC Nightly News, the new and creative ways stores are trying to lure you in this holiday season.
In Lafayette.
Oops. And wrong one.
Tis the season to get customers into stores and keep them there. To compete with the convenience of online shopping, many businesses are changing the in-store experience.
Lots of options to eat and drink.
Wow.
A Beauty Haven, which is a full floor of beauty services from blowouts to waxing.
Blowouts to waxing. What's a blowout?
Where they dry your hair. They don't cut your hair.
They blow it out.
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
And brow bars.
Nordstrom in New York City is focused on providing services you can't get in front of a computer.
Part of the in-store experience. Having food delivered to you while you shop.
Oh, my God.
For the non-shoppers in your house, a martini bar to wait it out.
No way.
Now, are you shopping
for
yourself? You're shopping for yourself, you're shopping for other people. Are those martinis for yourself or are those martinis for other people? Well, I'm really confused what's going on here.
I'm pretty sure those martinis are definitely for yourself.
They're not for a gift. They're not a gift for another person.
Your bored husband there.
Okay.
You know, you see the ladies, they're all just dragging around their bored husband.
Well, this guy's not bored. Check this out.
Yeah, he's drinking up.
In Los Angeles, Casper Mattress allows people to take naps on the merchandise.
What?
Yeah, why not? Casper Mattress, naps. I don't even know why Casper has a store. When's their whole thing? Is there an online mattress retailer?
Oh, yeah.
Why do they have a store? You're supposed to be, your whole thing is not. You used to advertise on podcasts, Casper. What happened? Damn it.
Something that you use every day for sleep. I thought we'd come to this store and to actually try it out.
At Levi's, shoppers can customize their jeans on site.
Did you want it this size or did you want to get it bigger?
And in Chicago, Lululemon has yoga classes and meditation rooms.
I love being able to come in and do more than just shop.
From inner peace to beauty and cocktails, stores finding innovative ways to keep customers coming back.
Spend money.
Do they have any prices for any of these things?
Oh, heck no. You know it's super expensive.
Yeah, I was thinking they're not going to give you free martinis and blowouts.
Oh, blowouts. That's
I've never had
weird one. Weird term. But they use that cool Santa sled transition, so I've edited it together a little bit so we can appreciate it together. Check this out.
In Lafayette. And in Chicago. In Lafayette.
Yes.
In Lafayette.
What do you think?
In Chicago.
It's pretty great.
We need this for our show, I think.
Maybe you'll get people to rain money on us.
Really fancy. Yeah.
Glitter.
Yeah, commercialism.
Yeah.
Ending off today. Something that really upsets me is the commercialism of marijuana. Let's watch a video. The Boston Globe. Welcome to Big Marijuana's factory floor.
The world's biggest weed company. We're seen as corporate cannabis, right? We are the big kid on the block. What makes it corporate cannabis? It's success, basically. The moment legalization happened, it sort of became that corporate or government-controlled entity, and it ran counter to what, you know, one of the principles that was so inherent to the foundation of the cannabis culture, that you become the man of cannabis. You can see on each of the tables, there are the...
Yeah, the man of cannabis. You're the man of cannabis now, man. It's true. It's kind of a problem.
The little plasticized notes, and that tells you what strains are on the table. Each strain, each plant has a specific level of nutrients or combination of nutrients that we give them, so it's different for each one. So we're always working to dispel that perception of us as corporate cannabis.
Why is she on her phone?
That was such a bad shot. I'm so confused.
Funny.
Sorry.
That's hilarious.
I was really distracted.
I'm not listening to this dude.
But it
not listening to him.
I know.
That's hilarious.
At the same time, there's only so much you can do. So this is an example of an indica. There are a few ways that you can maximize your grow efforts through things called LST or low stress training.
Low stress training.
The netting here that we use, you basically just lead the branches as they grow through holes, kind of separating them a little bit. And instead of upward growth, it encourages side to side or horizontal growth, which is actually better for the plant instead of shooting all the nutrients up and towards the lights. And you actually get a more even distribution of light exposure, which produces stronger, healthier, bigger nugs across the plant.
Man, that's a lot of words.
Yeah.
This is where the magic happens.
Very sophisticated.
As you can see, they do it. It's called the rough trim. They then go into these black machines, spin them around really quickly. It takes off another layer of the trim. And then they go through the tubing into the final one.
That's
cylinders. Crazy. Actually have
the sorting.
Small blades on the inside.
Yeah.
And then all of the buds fall into our bins.
Oh, yeah.
Sort it off. And they set to dry. Dried, cured, and packaged for sale. It takes about a shift to a shift and a half to do one crop, which is about 400 plants. And in most cases, we're sending out to government agencies that are buying it.
That's just...
What?
Yeah. This is in Canada.
Oh, okay.
So from here, they go on to flat trays.
I think.
Basically baking sheets with little holes in them, and they get moved into total darkness in the drying rooms. This whole thing is basically safer than a bank vault. It's got the motion sensors in the ground all around it. At any given time, it had up to 400 million in products stored.
400 million.
In there.
A lot of money.
Cannabis hasn't ever been studied until now in a real sort of laboratory, in a controlled environment, in a regulated or government-funded way. So this opens up the doors to all kinds of investigations and all kinds of academic research. This is our research lab, so basically we're our own in-house researchers.
Oh, wow.
Or a lot of the time, University of Ottawa. We're working with the University of Ottawa quite a bit to do research on cannabinoids and the effects.
Look at all those flame-resistant lab coats,
too. So we have 64 patents.
Really safe looking.
Yeah.
Currently, and over 200 filed.
64 patents.
So we have 64 patents currently and over 200 filed right now around the world.
Wow.
Holy crap. But it doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of the cannabis? It's supposed to grow in your backyard. We don't need factories growing this. We don't need, it's cool. Research is cool. Yeah, we need to study weed. But this is commercialism too. This is commercializing something. It does not need to be commercialized. Kefir. Kefir is something that grows. We'll do an episode on it. We'll do a little segment on it one of these days.
And it's important to remind people that even in some states where weed is legal, growing it is not legal.
In Washington State, where we currently live, where you cannot grow your own weed.
Yeah. How does that make sense? It's
you
just
can't,
a plant.
It is so regulated up here. When you go to a dispensary, you can't even open and smell the weed. And the people who buy weed, they know, what? Can't even smell the weed? No, you can't smell the weed. It's awful. It's awful up here. It is so heavily regulated. The weed sucks. And is that what we're going to do? We're just going to have weed grown in these huge controlled labs, super expensive. And it can grow outside. It's weed.
Yeah, if we want to talk about global warming, carbon footprints, whatever, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, we can grow this ourselves. This is so easy to grow. Let people grow it who want to grow it.
Outside in nature.
Mm-hmm. Get away from the commercialism.
Yeah.
And help us value for value.
Help us financially produce the show by heading over to healthytalkshow.com/support. Your financial contribution will ensure we remain unbiased, commercial-free, and help us pay for things like rent. Head on over to healthytalkshow.com/support.
Yep. How much is a cup of Starbucks coffee? I believe people pay on average $5 a day. If you send healthytalkshow.com/support $5 a month, you will help keep independent media alive. We need that. I'm sure you learned something in this episode today. I'm sure you did. Everybody does. We get emails all the time. People say, oh, you pull crazy stories. This is great. You pull stuff I never hear about. Well, help us out. We're independently produced. We don't carry ads. We don't care about that stuff. We just want to do a podcast. We don't want your data.
Yeah.
We want your emails. Send us emails. AskHealthyTalkShow.com. Another way, call us 509-878-3229. HealthyTalkShow.com/social for all of your social media links. And we record this show live on Mondays and Thursdays at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 a.m. UTC over at HealthyTalkShow.com/live. Come join us. Last recording we had after a show in our chat room, we had some IT help going on. Really cool. Someone said, I'm getting an IT certification. Another chatter said, oh, well, I can actually help you with that. And they connected. There you go. HealthyTalkShow.com/support. Love and light.
Love and light.